WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Blue Stem Jazz, presenting Cahil Elzabar's Ethnic Heritage Ensemble at Cafe Coda on Saturday, February 29th at 8 p.m. Multi-percussionist Cahil Elzabar came of age in Chicago during the early years of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. The trio's other members are trumpeter Corey Wilkes and baritone saxophonist Alex Harding. The Ethnic Heritage Ensemble performances provide a joyous jazz groove. Information is available at bluestemjazz.org.
Good morning again. Hey, we're listening to some Hang On, Ramsey Lewis Trio, bringing us in to, as promised, our segment with David Stone, Thomas Ferella, and Rick
Campbell.
Thank you. And now we're moving to some music, actually, that you guys are, I believe, presenting. What are we? Listen here on your phones and hear what's coming up here. Oh, maybe it's not.
No, same.
You guys got Ramsey Lewis? Is he still alive?
I still got Ramsey. We have him playing tonight.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like Cahil.
Well, let's just let play stuff up under our voices. Here it comes.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Always be you.
Tell you what we are listening to in the broadest sense, and then Rick Campbell will tell you specifically what we're listening to. We are listening to music that will be presented at Cafe Coda by Blue Stem Jazz, a new nonprofit venture, which is what we're talking about this morning with folks from Blue Stem Jazz. We've got David Stone, Thomas Ferella, and Rick Campbell. After booking and presenting progressive jazz since 2016 in Madison, they have partnered with several local venues as a means of expanding services and increasing exposure for jazz. So they're bringing more progressive, I don't know, progressive jazz actually is kind of a dangerous term. That puts a different thing in my head. What do you guys call it?
Well, you know, anytime you put that adjective in there, everybody gets a little freaked out. You know, yeah. Sometimes we say free jazz, sometimes it's avant-garde jazz, sometimes we say progressive jazz. I don't even know why we have to use the adjective, but it does help define what we consider what jazz should be, music that's moving forward. Somebody that's thinking and writing and bringing in the old masters in some way, but making the music personal and making it theirs. And that's what we're really interested in. And not just really jazz, but even into classical and other forms of music. We are definitely hosting essentially what the three of us love. Just beautiful, beautiful music. But the emphasis is really jazz.
And that piece there, so why was that a piece that you guys are so interested in? Tell me about, Rick, what we were listening to and when people can hear that music like that live.
Certainly. Well, that's Cahil Elzabar's Ethnic Heritage Ensemble playing. And it's just got this Afrocentric beat. It's well-rooted in the Afrocentric spiritual jazz scene that's been going on in Chicago for years. It's also part of the AACM orientation. That's the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, which some listeners may be familiar with, the Art Ensemble of Chicago. And I think their whole mantra, Ancient to the Future, more or less sums up kind of what Bluestem Jazz is about as well, kind of challenging some of the traditions within the music and moving the music forward, not necessarily in particular genre. So as Thomas said, it could be a classical orientation, a jazz orientation, or a freer orientation or interpretation of the music that's available. And I just wanted to mention that Cahill El-Zabar and the Ethnic Heritage Ensemble with Alex Harding on baritone saxophone and Corey Wilkes, a fantastic trumpeter, are going to be playing at Madison's Cafe, Dakota, and that's coming up this Saturday, February 29th at 8 p.m., and we welcome all Madison listeners and fans of John's 8 o'clock buzz to join us in celebration of music in Madison, again, at Cafe Coda, Saturday, February 29th.
All right, and now Hannah John Taylor has been the, I used the word engine before, he's been, you know, the chief, the booker, musician, landlord, chief toilet scrubber over there, right? I mean, that's the way he runs his stuff. He's passionate. Yeah, we're the cavalry?
We're grateful to Hannah to open his doors for us to present this music.
Well, he must be quite happy to have some other folks putting a shoulder to the wheel.
I think it's just it's an awesome way of different minds coming together to keep this scene alive, because sustainability for this is first and foremost on our minds of how we can continue this into the future and what's that model. So Bluestem adds a certain thing to the music, and Hannah definitely with that beautiful club adds another thing. So does the North Street Cabaret. Al Rasho is a huge fan of this music. And, of course, Buzz and Audrey at Audio for the Arts have been, again, very, very instrumental.
Now, what's that like as a listening space?
It is absolutely fantastic. Being a recording studio, the acoustics are phenomenal in there. It's very intimate. He's got a beautiful grand piano. We just had,
killer.
You know, Thomas was talking about other than jazz. We just had Now Ensemble there last weekend. Sold out crowd, standing room only, amazing music on the grand piano. It was phenomenal.
And do you record generally while you're there?
Every single show. And the artist has a really inexpensive way to get a raw recording, a mixed down recording, a fully CD version of the recording. And Buzz and Audrey do a great job with that and make it easy for everybody.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the Knitting Factory back in the day. They got themselves set up well for recording and became kind of a label. And
same with Smalls in New York City. They record video too, and you can become a subscriber to watch those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you looking at in the scene that you felt like, what hole did you want to fill? What gap were you trying to...
It's actually really simple. Thomas and I have traveled all over the country listening to music. We got tired of getting on the airplane. We got tired of getting in the car. So we said, well, why can't this happen in Madison? So we put our heads together, and now there's people ringing the phone and sending emails that want to come play in Madison, and our spring schedule is just jammed with great music.
And we started this off with Roscoe Mitchell. That was our first show. So it was this explosive beginning. And we just got lucky. And after that, we hosted Ken Vandermark, another explosive musician. So for us, it was there and then to Saturn. And beyond.
So how does this integrate with the local scene? Local jazz musicians, since I've been here in 1980, have never gone away. There have always been great jazz musicians here, and they have always been long-suffering for the most part,
yes.
You know, to find a venue, to find a gig.
Yeah.
And so we have really, really reached out to the local guys for gigs. For example, we've got Tony Barbett, a CD release April 3rd at North Street Cabaret. And, I mean, Tony's a phenomenal saxophonist, phenomenal looper and creative musician, and I just love listening to his stuff, and all of a sudden, Tony's more prominent in the area because he's getting more gig time.
Now, it isn't the kind of thing with jazz as much as with rock where you actually synthesize on the same bill so often, right? Usually if somebody comes in, they take the stage that night, or do you put opening acts on sometimes?
Sometimes, but you know, that model you're talking about, that's an old school model that was really hip at the time, right? You would see Miles with some sort of rock and roll early band. I mean,
it still happens with rock bands. I'm saying you get a lot of bands on the bill,
yes.
But with jazz, you're more used to seeing the act.
We do a little bit of that. We'd like to do more of it, but financially, that's a kind of a tough thing to do. We do have, like, for example, Paul Dietrich, who's a local trumpet player and composer, who's played extensively in Chicago. We have him on the bill at North Street Cabaret. And the second band is Matt Gold, who's absolutely my favorite guitarist right now out of Chicago. He has just a brilliant presence. So there's an example of a double bill. But those are hard for us to put together in a lot of ways. But we try. When we had, was it Allison Miller, right, with Jenny Scheinman,
They played on their own.
We didn't have a band prior to that. Or no. It was Dave King, and it was at the church.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so we try to bring the locals
in. So what
does
Bluestem not present as a way of defining what you do?
Oh, I wouldn't say we don't do anything. I mean, in the purest sense, if the music's good, we're interested.
Right.
Going back to the double billing, one of the elements that's been missing for a long time in music is the accounting part of it. And we're not in it for money. Actually, our job is to distribute money, to make sure the bands get paid, make sure the venue makes some money so that we can continue to do this. And if the band's going to make some money, then they need to get paid. And the money's got to come from somewhere. We don't have infinite seating capacity. So if we have two bands, then both bands would have to get paid. And so oftentimes the ends don't meet. Yeah. So we tend to stay away from that. And Bluestem jumps in to make sure that the venue's going to get enough money and the band's going to get enough money that it can happen again.
So it's an unusual model that you don't take any money as promoters. That's not a usual promoter story. You're also looking to fund this any different ways, like grants or donations?
Right. We're starting to explore. We have gotten some grants from Dane Arts in the city of Madison, mainly for our festival that we put on every year. We are starting to write for grants for the festival for next year, which we kind of want to expand. The model we have right now is sort of top-down, being funded by folks like the three folks you're seeing sitting around this table. But also, we've had some extremely generous supporters. We'd like to see it be more sustainable from people having their butts in the seat and paying appropriate ticket prices for this type of music, and we're sort of getting there. I think we're building the audience. Madison is catching on
age of the audience? We're all in this room a little bit on the older side. Although I did notice you're one of the first guests ever. No, wait. I'm going to give you some credit, though, here. To whoever put up the Instagram post. Was it you, Thomas? It was an Instagram story, and I got tagged. I've never, as the host, been tagged to put up an Instagram story. I would expect that to come from like one of my 20-something guests.
Well, there you go, because the Instagram is done by my daughter, Maya.
There you go. Yeah.
And she's younger than me. Go figure. But we give her total credit for that. In fact, you know, this is a team thing.
Yeah, but my question really is the age of the audience, because jazz, you know, like theater, like, you know, public radio sewing show, you know, the audience might age out.
So let me address that. So in the past, the concerts that I've been to in Madison at the local venues have had a mix, mostly on the older side, but we have drawn in some younger players, and we're seeking out bands that reflect what a younger listener may want. A perfect example of that will be a concert that's coming up, a player that's on a top 10 of a lot of the free jazz lists for 2019, and that's Jamie Branch in her Fly or Die 2 series. Jamie is a fantastic new fine trumpet player out of Chicago originally, now out of Brooklyn, New York. Her most recent album's Bird Dogs of Paradise, and she's going to be playing in Madison in March, and that is clearly a younger audience. I've seen Jamie several times, and the last time I saw her was at the Empty Bottle, and the average age of the group in there was millennials bleeding over into some Generation Xers, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you know the Empty Bottle scene, and if you get a feel for what Jamie Branch is about, she brings a certain attitude to her music. She's into social justice, social responsibility, and a social conscience, which is what I'm about and with what I'd like to think Bluestem Jazz is about. She's got a fantastic song I can recommend, Prayer for America, Part 1 and 2, and it really challenges the sensibilities of what's going on in America right now, and it's America with 3 Ks, so she's challenging racial injustice in America with this song, and it's a reflection on What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
And then in 2 days later, it's Harriet Tubman. And I know that's a peculiar name for a band, but these are three gentlemen out of New York City who, again, stand for social justice.
Exactly.
And they are on the cutting edge of what's happening in the black community. And these guys hit it hard. They're hard, heavy rock jazz. And that'll be at the North Street Cabaret. So that week should just absolutely blow your mind.
So you guys have your venues right now that you're booking in for the most part. Is it completely venue agnostic, though, depending on what you need for the size of a show? Would you go to the High Noon or the Barrymore, or is it kind of like Blue Stem is these clubs?
I don't want to consider it exclusive because we're trying to cater and curate our bands to the venue.
Yeah.
So, for example, with Harriet Tubman, my first choice was High Noon. And so I reached out to them. And then I thought the Crucible would be kind of an interesting venue to bring this to. And so that kind of didn't go anywhere.
I've never heard free jazz and burlesque mixed, and I think that could be really interesting.
We are totally on board with that idea, because right. Al at the North Street Cabaret does a burlesque.
Yeah,
brunch.
Well, and Crucible does shows
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
No, we want to tear down some walls here, and we want to do it with etiquette and decorum, but we think this music is far-reaching. And the other thing we're breaking into is the local neighborhood festivals. And we've had great support from Bob Queen with the Pursuit of Happiness Festival. And in fact, we're hosting a local band there, Mr. Chair, which is fun. These guys are just fantastic. They're theatrical. And, of course, beautiful, beautiful musicians.
All right. Well, you know, that brings us up almost to 8:30. So I'm going to thank you guys for coming down. But let us know again, because you have so much going on here. One, where people find out about it. And two, what the next show coming up is.
The next show coming up is tonight, Matthew Meneses at Threshold. It'll be our very first gig at Threshold. And Matthew's a younger guy, and, you know, hopefully we get some younger people there. It's $5 discount for students if they have an ID.
Where is Threshold?
It's on Atwood Avenue,
2717.
Right across the street from Victory Coffee. And two of the musicians there are local, John Christensen on bass and Matt Endries, who's a super tight drummer locally. And so we're excited to present that amalgamation.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. And thanks for the Batch Baker.
And one more,
one more business,
I wanted to add, just in support of Cahill Elzabar and Jonathan's listeners, Blue Stem Jazz would like to offer a pair of tickets available to the first caller who calls in. And again, that's Cahill Elzabar at Cafe Coda, February 29th at 8 p.m. And the first caller, we'd like to offer you a pair of tickets.
256-2001. Anker, maybe make sure that Nancy is actually at the desk and ready to do that. And I'll ask Rick for you to go out and help Nancy out there if anybody has questions about that. David Stone, Thomas Varela, and Rick Campbell, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much, John.
Check it out.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.